Hello, we are back finally in 2021 with the first episode of Creative Combos with my co-host Stephen Morris. And as you can see, we got our first creative guest at the bottom called Taco at Play. His true identity will reveal in a few seconds. But before we start, Stephen, what do you think of our new look?
Ah, I love it. First of all, I need to compliment you on the beginning sequence. Sheesh, it's so relaxing. You already start to wait. You are like, I don't know. You get enthusiastic for like, okay, what's going on? Let's see what this episode is about. So thumbs up, man. That's really good. That's really
awesome.
Good.
And no, props to you on the new cover for this series as well, the Creative Convos. Very
yeah.
Sleek.
Nice. And thank you.
If you guys haven't seen that yet, he also uploaded the process on how that he made it on his channel. So maybe check that out later. But without further ado, let's go to our guest of honor, Taco at Play, also known as Jake. How do you pronounce your last name though?
Ahmad Dulrasit, everyone. Like my teacher says, Ahmad Dulsarit. Just go with it.
All right. Yeah. We'll just stick to Jake for now. Anyways, who is Jake? Well, from what I've seen, or I actually met Jake, I think a few years ago, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Was during one of the Instagram expos.
It's my first expo. The first and last.
I think that was the 2018 or 2019.
I think it's
2019.
Yeah, because the next year is COVID, so Instagram got canceled.
Funny story, because I guess all three of us met through that platform.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, me, Tevin as well. I'm not sure how you guys. So
yeah, same. 2019 Instagram Expo.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So if you haven't already figured out, Jake's one of the creatives in the, I guess, the photography field majority now, delving into video as well with those epic B-roll sequences. We'll talk about that a bit more as we progress the conversation. But anyways, that's how we know Jake. But what else do you think people should know about you, Jake? Or did we miss anything of import that you'd like to share with us?
Not really. Like, wait, ask me a question, because there are certain things that I don't want to give out. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, there are certain things about him, like I believe a part of him that he doesn't really want to give out.
Look,
yet.
Let me put it this way. I have a superpower. It's called Jinx. So let's say I have something that I love or appreciate and then I talked about it, somehow I just tend to jinx it. Like something bad's gonna happen to it. Okay. So
well, I'd like to challenge that superpower. We're gonna peel those layers down, Jake.
I tried to use the superpower to destroy the superpower, but it didn't work.
Oh, you tried to jinx the jinx. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to it. But one thing, compliments on your setup, Jake. You can really see it. I assumed right that you're using Sony, eh? Sony gang.
I am. Sony for life.
So, time to upgrade, Tevin.
Yes.
Silent. Wink,
oh
wink.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I will get my setup. For now, I'm just using my phone and everything. So, it works.
Didn't you have a Sony too?
No, I have a Sony, but that's at work. Using that at work. It's not mine, but like I said, I'm using a Sony at work and I'm loving it. So I'm thinking by getting, let's say my first camera would be a Sony, because I don't see me jumping over to Nikon or Canon. No, nothing against those people, because when I started really with photography, I started with Nikon. But when I at my work, I started using Sony, and I'm seeing all those capabilities the Sony camera has, I'm like, no, I'm sticking to Sony. So yeah, that's why. So my first camera will be a Sony, definitely.
All right. Well, you can start off with the guys at work saying, you know, can I take the camera back home for work purposes? Then, you know, you need to get used to the feel and the buttons and everything, you know, make it your own.
I'm working on it to, I'm already quite a way to purchase one, just like by saving and everything. And so we'll get there eventually.
So what about you, Jake? Were you Sony from the start? How did you start off, actually?
Okay, so do I start off my origin story?
Well, how far does the origin story go?
I came from the planet Krypton. Let's start with my photography career, how it all started before I got my cam. Where did it start? It was a family trip back in 2017 or 16. But anyways, it was a trip to Nikeri. And then there was this pit stop. What's this river called? Bigipan. Yes, Bigipan. So me and my family, well, my uncle and my cousins, we pit stopped there and we took a few pictures. And I took a banger pic. Well, sadly, I lost that picture because I deleted it for some reason. And somehow I was like, what if I start an Instagram photography account? So when we arrived at our destination in Nikeri, I settled down and started a Instagram account. It wasn't Taco at Play yet. It was, I forgot what it was, but it was something else. So I started editing. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just changing sliders. I had no idea what those sliders were doing. So that's basically how it all started with my phone. It was a Galaxy S8. And then over time, it didn't really work out. But then one day, here is another secret part where I'm gonna make it a metaphor, like hide it. Well, let's use coffee. I came across coffee, specifically latte art. And somehow that gave me inspiration to express what I was feeling. So I expressed those into my photography, into my images. So basically, if you look at my Instagram grid, all my pictures basically have my feelings, my expressions. So there are a lot of hidden messages in basically all of my pictures. So if you look into my captions and like try to look at the pictures, you'll see something related. And if you're smart enough, you can find out what they mean.
Interesting. Awesome that you started with, I guess, a phone. Just goes to show that you don't need this fancy headgear to get started. it's nice now that we have it, but yeah. What do you remember what this banger pic was that you took? What did you capture?
I forgot. I think I just took a random caption of Google. But the picture was a landscape of Bigipan, and there was this little this sort of house thingy in the middle of the river. And what I did a sky replacement. So I made the clouds look more dramatic. I made the water look blue.
Wow.
Wait, just to clarify, after you captured the photo, so you did post editing on the phone?
No, I did it on the laptop.
Oh, you did it on the laptop. All right. We'll get some more into your post-production process in a bit. But Tell me, what's the thing about coffee and creators?
Oh yeah, actually, mine isn't that cliche with creators and coffee. My coffee started with something else. There's something I came across, and I declared it as coffee. So basically, it's latte art, not specifically coffee, but latte art. You can see that a lot in my IG grid.
Yeah, no, it's quite interesting that when you check online, like Peter McKinnon, for example, he is a coffee junkie.
He's a coffee addict.
Some other creators, well, Matt Diavela, a cinematographer, also a coffee addict. So there's a few more. Yeah, when you see this aesthetically framed beans with that, there you go, taking a sip of his coffee mug.
This is actually water.
Yeah. We didn't know that.
He likes the coffee mug.
You could have run with it.
Fun fact, I got a tattoo of a coffee mug.
What? Oh, damn. This guy is. He started to become like Peter McKinnon. Watch carefully.
Technically, yes, but no. This tattoo has a lot of meanings, actually. Where is it?
Yeah, we see it. So, nice. We're willing to share what's behind the coffee and the tattoo.
So, do you want the coffee or the tattoo or both?
Yeah, how did the coffee get translated into the tattoo?
Okay, so I need a clip. Can you somehow pull up an image on screen?
Yeah, sure.
It's possible.
Image of what?
If you could go on my Instagram, my second account, I have the picture of my tattoo there.
Yeah, while I do that, Devin,
yes.
Got any follow-up? Well, what's this? What's your second account?
Okay.
Oh, it's
chicken wings.
Yeah, no, but is it chicken wings? Yes, chicken wings.
Chicken wings. You got chicken wings and taco at play. So I don't know what your reference is with food, if it's your favorite or anything, but maybe you can
food
jump in with those. Yeah?
Chicken wings, barbecue wings, they're all life. It's part of life. It's the main part of life. It's a reason to be alive.
Alright, nice. So
I think it's the last one. The one on the boat thingy. Where I'm wearing orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, I can't see a thing. Anyways. Can a viewer see what's in the picture?
One second.
Maybe a close up.
Hey.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, my origin story is going to be so cliche.
He knows the best.
I ain't gonna hide these beautiful scars. Okay.
Okay. Meanings there, but okay. So if you look. What shapes do you guys see?
The Illuminati triangles.
Okay, yes, that's one.
Anyways, you got a triangle, you got a mug, you got some shading in the background of the coffee and some diagonal lines. And
yes.
Basically a diamond, kind of a
exactly.
Diamond shape.
A diamond. So let's start with the triangle. Like every cliche creator, they all start off depressing.
I know where this is going.
So this is a triangle. The 3 points is the problems I was dealing with, which was trust, misfortune, and wait, I forgot what the third one was. How can I forget?
Whoa. It's your personality. Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Let's keep going. It's trust, misfortune. Oh, yeah. Bad luck. Actually, it's also misfortune, but.
Yeah, your superpower.
It's the jigsaw.
Yeah.
And so that's basically the triangle. And on the left side, if you look closely, there's a kind of a hole inside the triangle that indicates the misformed or damaged, I guess, damaged triangle, the damaged personality, damaged character, which was the depression part. And in the back, there are four stripes, two going up and two going down. Those are the stripes of my character development before I was the triangle. So those are missed development, if you would say. And so the triangle part was up until 2018. And after 2018, I developed myself into a diamond. And that is thanks to the coffee which guided me to out of depression into the diamond I am today. So basically, yeah. Oh, also on the coffee mug, if you look closely, there is a there's a scar, there's a crack in the mug. That's because there's a part with a coffee career thingy where it kind of went south, where I'm not going deep into.
Okay.
That's why I'm using metaphors. So yeah, that's basically my life until 2020. So may do a follow-up on 2025, basically a summary.
No, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, Tef, go ahead.
So basically what you're saying, like 2025, you will edit the same tattoo, like add something.
I'll try to add. If it's not possible, I'm going to make a new tattoo on my right hand. Yeah, my right hand.
Okay. So you designed your own tattoo?
Basically, I stole the base from Google and then I added my own personal touches.
Okay. Cool. So no,
that's really, really personal and really cool that you added so much, I guess, meaning to it. Because, yeah, some people just get a tattoo because it looks cool.
Yeah, because it looks cool.
Others have like a deep philosophical meanings. And for you, it's like your journey, I guess, as you've developed the previous years. So curious to see how this evolves further. So 2025, let's book an appointment and see how that goes.
Yeah. Let's put it on the calendar.
I'm curious as well.
All right, that's the story behind the coffee and the tattoo, I guess. But I guess one last thing. So it was the latte art, right? Specifically that got you into it. What about the latte art spoke to you? Was it the aesthetics? Was it the aroma? What was it?
Basically, okay, I was blame Peter McKinnon for this. Let's see. So I've been following Peter McKinnon for a long time, and his coffee work is very, how would I say, dramatic, and I love dramatic. So coffee was a bit in my head, besides taco, and this coffee thingy, what I call coffee, I engage this coffee being, who I'm calling coffee, with a coffee emoji. And then from that day on, I declared that set being as coffee, latte art, because the coffee emoji has a latte art on it. And so this set person inspired me. Well, not inspired me. Basically, it gave me my will to get out of the depression stuff and stuff like that.
Okay, that's coffee, and it strikes me quite how simple it was to just, you know, it hits you and you say this thing is iconic. I'm just going to go all in and create through it or create with it.
It's like scheme theory. It's just, this is it.
Gut feeling, scheme theory.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. You mentioned your name Taco at Play just now, and we were just on your second account. What was it? Chicken. I am chicken. Chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings. I remember I am chicken was one of them. So
yeah.
I've been following you for quite a bit now, and every time I see another name. What's the story behind that?
So, with which one do you want to start?
Okay, what was the first name? What was the first name?
I forgot the first name. I think at the beginning it was like Jake something, Jake underscore something something, but then became Taco at Play. So Taco at Play is kind of a controversial one. So
okay.
Have you guys heard of Bart Baker?
I have not.
No.
So he's a guy on YouTube that makes parodies from YouTube music clips, music in general, and then he made a parody about Gangnam Style. Was it Gangnam Style? Yeah, it was Gangnam Style. And in that video, there was a lyric that he said, "Was it sausage or was it taco?"
All right. I see where this is going, but keep
taco
going.
Taco was basically the female thing, so
yeah. Okay.
The young me, stupid me, young and dumb, thought it was funny. So, basically, me and my friends, we were obsessed with the word taco that we forgot what it actually meant. So taco basically kind of became a catchphrase. And so one day, I had to make a username on Xbox Live. And when you do that on Windows, when you start with an Xbox app, it starts with a pop-up screen that says, "Let's play." So I was like, what username or what gamer tag can I use? So the "Let's play" was still in my head. So I put in "Let's play. Let's play 117. Let's play this. Let's play that." But then the taco was still a catchphrase in that time, so I put "Taco Play," and that's how it started.
Yeah.
But taco play was taken, so I said taco.play was also taken. So I had a at sign, like you can't put symbols. So I was like, what if I just wrote at, and I just wrote taco at play, and it worked. And so basically, that's how it started.
And
I kinda grew.
Is that the main name or tag you use now as the main account?
Yeah, I do. Taco at Play grew on me. I dig it for some reason. It's iconic in a way.
It's catchy, not gonna lie. It is. And with a story like that, it's a good conversation filler.
I tend not to talk about what it means because it's a bit controversial.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything controversial about that. It gotta be it's pretty chill. But then where did the chickens come from?
Oh, so basically, have you seen my Dare video recently?
No.
It's the where I had to eat an onion.
Oh yeah.
So, it's by the same person. I was there to look exactly like a girl, to dress up like a girl, and then take a picture and then post it. So, I chickened out.
Who dared wings? Who dared you?
I don't know if she wants me to.
Okay, so that's enough.
Anyways, she dared me to look like a girl and then post it, but I chickened out. So she told me, change your name to Chicken. So I had to put I am Chicken. I had to do it for a month. So it was like 22nd of December to 22nd of January. So that's why my name just changed back to Taco at Play recently.
Where does there even come from? Why were you there? What did you do?
Good question. How did it start? Honestly, I forgot. They just start out of nowhere.
So it's just something between friends, I assume.
Yeah, it's like there are a few inside jokes.
Okay, those are the best too. Well, got anything to add to this part, Tevin, before we go more to his creative side on the photography?
Maybe we can ask maybe a small thing that I like to add. I see that he really digs Peter McKinnon. So any fans who are out there listening to this podcast, so just tag Peter McKinnon. Let him see that, you know, one of his believers is doing creative things also. So yeah, that's one of the things. I have questions, but that's more on the creative side. So yeah.
Okay, then let's go straight into the creative side now. And I think Peter McKinnon's a good segue to get into this. So we got your origin story. Samsung Galaxy 8, snapped that DigiPan photo, edited on the laptop. Did you know about Peter McKinnon before or after that?
I think after.
So after you got that shot, you got interested into photography.
Because before Peter McKinnon, it was Brandon Wolfo.
Oh yeah, that I see his stylistics in some of your photos as well. Some influence there.
So basically, with Peter McKinnon and Brandon Wolfo, I kind of find my own style.
Yeah. All right. So you got into that. When did you get the first camera, the Sony?
That was when I graduated Lico. Yes, when I graduated Lico, which was 2019. Yes, 2019.
Woo, 2019. So
before the world turned to crap.
Basically 2 years after you really got into it. So before that, you were taking photos with your phone and then editing on it. So walk us through that editing process in the early years. How'd you...
The editing process was a pain in the ass because basically I tried to replicate depth of field and everything a professional camera does. So every time I snapped a picture, I had to like individually select my subject and then blur the background, and after that like also add some overlays like some bokeh and stuff like that, and after that also color grade. So basically when I used my phone, 10% was shooting and 90% was editing, and with my camera it is 10% editing and 90% shooting.
Nice.
Oh, that's quite a switch. But I think you've mentioned quite a lot of photography terminology there: color grading, bokeh, depth of field. So did you know what all these things meant already? And you know, because when people start photography, usually they focus on composition, but you went straight into the technicals and the aesthetics.
I went straight into it because I watched Peter McKinnon and Brandon Wolfo a lot, and I tried to replicate their stuff, but then I feel like I'm missing something. So I went deep into photography, dig what those things were, how to achieve those things. So I saw depth of field, bokeh, stuff like that, contrast. So basically, I add those things, edit those things into my pictures, and I saw, oh, wow, this is it. Like depth of field is the main. What's the main? It was the salt.
Yeah.
The MSG, as Uncle Roger would say.
Yeah, as you can see, depth of field.
Yeah.
All right, on to you, Tevin.
Yes, he said he likes drama and dramatic scenes. Is that Is that why you also develop a certain, personal style in making your photography game a bit more dramatic?
Yes, I did. I think it had to do with the depression part, where it's dark and gritty, and like over time I grew in liking to it.
Okay. And it's not, it's really good because sometimes I'm like watching it and I'm like, how do you do it? Like, how do you do it? But you already mentioned like you have 90% editing on one side and on the other side you have to work more 10% with the camera. So yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. So thumbs up. And don't let's that's okay. Let me be clear. What's what, Sandra? I lost my train of thought. So what I wanted to say is do not give up making those style photography. So it's your personality. So just do it. And in the meantime, you can explore further and further.
In the meantime, I am exploring. Well,
Yeah, see?
the main thing is I hate green, so you'll see little to no green on my Instagram grid.
Ah,
Where
that
does this
explains.
hateful green come?
I don't know. It's just I don't like green. Also, you know the green thingy on the ground when it rains and it gets slippery?
Yeah, like
Ma
algae.
yeah, I
algae, yeah.
that thing is disgusting. Like I can't look at it. I can't touch it. I can't walk on it. It creeps me out.
So I don't see you in the near future making photos of like the forest or something like that.
I will. I'm planning on taking a few pictures in the forest, but I will desaturate the greens or
Okay.
make them orange.
Which also is a style, which also is a it's like a art form. It's your it's what you like, it's what you're presenting to us. So yeah.
It is.
Keep doing it.
Also, for people watching this, if your pictures look a bit meh, make the green desaturated or make them orange.
It's a great tip. Pick
Quick
it up.
5 second tip, oomph your editing game. No, I think it's really interesting, and I really like how simplistic your decision-making process is in some things. Like, I don't like that, so let's just do this. I want to know how to do this, and it's really interesting because sometimes you get people who overthink things and can't find their, their own personal vibe or aesthetic or what they want to do. So I really dig how you're very clear on what you like and don't like, and you stick
Very
to it,
practical.
and you practice it.
Indeed, matter of fact, I am overthinking a lot. So to deal with it, I just go with my first decision. Let's just do this. No thinking, let's do this. Otherwise, I'm gonna overthink. I did make a video about overthinking. I think it's in my IGTV video about overthinking. Just a quick short clip.
All right. So now we well, early days, you spend like 90% editing, and I think that really helped you understand how a photo is put together from like the very various layers, like pun not intended, in Photoshop and all this editing progress, and the onions that you have, the very layers that go into making a banger photo. People more often than not underestimate the post-production editing process, and they think it's just snap a photo and that's it. But just a little slight tweaking can make your photo from great to amazing.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot in Suri Nama. Like a lot of photographers, they like take a picture, oof, it's a banger, I'ma post it. Not knowing what the potentials are if you just take your time and edit
they're putting up raw deals.
it.
Yeah.
So then let's move now from you when you made the switch. So nowadays you do more on the composition, framing, thinking about the concept, the 90% shooting and less time editing. So how was that transition, and actually when did you feel comfortable that you could do that?
I felt comfortable right away, because like editing was a pain in the ass. So when I didn't have to edit, like my first camera was a Sony a7 II with a 50mm lens f1.8.
Wow, he went high end straight away. My God.
Because I knew what I wanted. So I got what I want, what I actually needed. So with the f1.8 lens, I could achieve depth of field, the bokeh. So I didn't have to edit the bokeh anymore. So when I imported the pictures into Photoshop, I was like, huh, I don't have to do anything. Basically, I just had to color grade a little bit, color correct. That's it. So it was more comfortable.
Wait, I remember after the Instagram Expo, you were like DM me like, yo, I'm thinking about buying this camera. You were showing me links and kind of stuff. Remember?
I have short-term memory loss. I don't remember. Please, okay.
but now you're talking about the gear.
Oh wait, I do remember. Right? I do remember.
Yeah.
It's this camera.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, you can buy it if you have the money. If you like what you ordered, go for it. I remember. And now you're calling all those technicalities up. I'm like, wait. I remember such thing that you were saying in the DM, like you wanted to do this, you wanted to buy it. I was like, damn, you really went for it. That's good. That's really good.
I just wanted to add that.
Could you tell us like when you were looking for finally getting that camera, what were like your three top things that you were looking at that had to fit the criteria to get that choice?
So the three top things. So at the beginning, I did want to become a filmmaker. Actually, that's how I started with photography. I used to edit. I was filming on my S3, Galaxy S3. I did a few CGI. I remember the Flash video and a, what's it called again? The Mannequin Challenge, where I did a slow motion, It's like the scene from X-Men of Quicksilver where things are floating around. So I did that with cards. And I was impressed with what I did. And that's kind of how it started. I wanted to become a filmmaker, but then I kind of toned down a little bit and went to photography. And so when I looked for a camera, I didn't know what I wanted, if I wanted a camera for filming or for photography. So I kind of went for best of both worlds. First, I looked at the Canon 80D. It had a good autofocus, so that would be good for filmmaking. But also, Sony had a great low light performance. So I was like, gotta make a decision. The thing about Sony is the lenses are very expensive. So I had to make a split decision. So I was like, okay, there's the Canon 80D or Sony A7 II. So I put the specs next to each other. The price was approximately the same at the time. It was like $1,000. And so Sony A7 II had good low light performance. I think better HDR. And what else? I forgot what else, but anyways, Canon, they had a lot of good lenses and they're quite cheap. And also their battery life is on point and they're built as a tank. So when I had to decide, I was like, what if I go to Sony A7 II? I just go all out low light beast. I was like, that's a good point. It's a strong point in a camera. How do you say that? It's a good feature. So actually, I think I made a last minute decision. I think I did Edi Mini Mini. Because I did create a poll on my Instagram what people would prefer, 80D or the A7 II. most of them said A7II, but mostly I was biased with the Sony. So that's kind of how it also helped making decision for the A7, for the Sony. It's my bias. Because also a lot of creators on YouTube, they use Sony. So that's also a factor why I chose Sony. Also, Raphael and Tony, they both
use Sony. Yeah.
So I was let me go there too.
Yeah. You're well on your way, man. You're like, if I'm checking like the videos you made and even the transitions idea you have, like, okay, TikTok is, let's leave TikTok out of here. But like the things you have in mind, bruh, I see you well on your way, and I see you, I would dearly say, like, maybe in a year, even you could make a small, a short video with some action scenes and like really good editing and CGI things. Like, get there, man. Get there. You already have the mind for it. You already have the setup for it. And bruh, just do it.
I just need more gear to step up my game a little bit more.
But before we talk about the more gear part, you mentioned two really, you know, creative locals and very inspirational as well. Because before we mentioned Brandon Wolfel, Peter McKinnon, kind of your inspiration, get that style aesthetics. But we have some great, great photographers and cinematographers here as well. And you just mentioned two, Raphael Jans and Tony Chow. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. So can you, I guess, have you ever collabed with them? Can you tell me what makes them stand out from the pack? For you, at least. Or what drew you to them, to their style?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want to be offensive, but...
No, this is an open conversation. No.
Yeah.
I didn't really, like, grow towards their style. I basically just followed them, trying to go with the pack, like try to develop alongside with them. Like, let me see how far cinematographers and photographers in C was compared to YouTubers from foreign countries. So I was like, okay, I am here, they are there, I need to get over there too. So basically, if I had to say the best photographers, I would say Tony and Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So their style is more like Peter, well, Tony's at least, his videos are most, or his recent videos, well, Tony and Raphael are mostly like Daniel Schiffer, the Biro ones. So I kind of take a little bit of inspiration there.
Yeah.
Raphael does a lot of landscaping, which I love his pictures, but I'm not really into landscape. I'm more into portraits. So that part is a bit Tony side, I guess. So yeah, Tony makes a lot of good portraits. So the portraits and video aspects is where I kind of steal. I don't steal, I just copy.
Great artist steal. I might drop a little bomb. Some of you guys thinking, oh, my coloring improved. No, I just steal palettes. I steal color palettes. Yeah.
I steal color palettes too.
Yeah. I don't have time to sit and think. Okay, I do edit those color palettes a bit, maybe in saturation and hue or those kind of things, but I do not make custom palettes, not anymore. I did it back in the days, those color palettes like bad. So if you're taking someone else's idea, there are two things of stealing. You have the plagiarism and you have taking the style over and making it yours.
Yes.
That's a difference. Yeah. So you have to, in that time, you actually develop your own style. So from my pers- from my perspective, you're taking something, like for instance, I'm taking the color palette, and then I edit it, I tweak it, but I use it for a different outcome or something like that. So you said like you steal their ideas. I don't believe it's stealing. It's just a way of
borrowing.
Yeah.
Until you get your own style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nicely said. And to finish that off with my two cents, I think Jake here is a prime example on how to rapidly improve your craft. He started off trying to replicate few of the best, trying to get Brandon Wolfe's style down, understanding it to a T on how he got that light so popping on those models. And I think if you're a creator and you want to get good, if you see someone's work that you admire a lot, try to replicate it to a T first. It will help you understand the whole process. And during that process, you will say, oh, but if I do this, it looks better for me. And that's how you develop your own style. So that's my one advice regarding to stealing. And it's not stealing. It's just mastering the craft.
Yeah.
Because in the end, anything that's original is not original.
No.
It's just a remix of different ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing to add to it, what you said, Diego, also sometimes you have to be practical with your craft. Sometimes you're about thinking, oh, maybe I think to do this. Like, just like you said, sometimes you have to just kill your overthinking because you might not put it out there ever because of overthinking. Just sometimes you have to be really practical. Yeah.
And after you put it out there, you'll get feedback. And that feedback is the part that's really valuable.
Yes. Yes.
You know, sometimes I'm kind of insecure about my... Not insecure about my feedback. Yeah. I kind of don't trust the feedback people give me. Like, people compliment me on how great my pictures and videos are. But sometimes I feel like, are they saying that to make me feel good? Or like, do they really mean it?
I'm exactly fine with you. That's why sometimes you can ask like, oh, what do you like about it? Like, do you see that I can improve here? What we're doing? Sometimes asking questions is also okay. Not only taking in the feedback. Sometimes you just put a crappy thing and then they will give you feedback. I'm not saying all the stuff are crappy, but sometimes just make something wrong. It's like upset. How do you say that again?
Deliberately,
yes. And then you'll see the feedback you get. They will tell you, no, we have to do this. And then when you look back, you'll see that all the feedback they gave you is a improvement what you already made. What they said that was good, they give you an improvement via that. That's what I've seen in my style. So I'm just giving my experience here. So let's put it that way.
I do that by asking people, like when I post a picture, I ask my friends, how much do you rate this one, scale 1 to 10? And if they say like 8, I say, why not a 10? So then I ask them, what's wrong with the picture that it's not a 10? So based on that feedback, I improve.
Good method. Very good
speaking
method,
of feedback, remember the episode we did with Jamie Carter? One of the earlier episodes, I think Jamie had a really good framework for how he deals with feedback. If I remember correctly, shout out to Jamie again. He had, I think, three categories on how he classes the feedback. So he has a group of people that are really close. He has the experts he looks up to. And depending on who he gets the feedback from, and then he rates it on how he should incorporated in his craft. So that's kind of his framework, categorizing the types of people and how much weight you put in that feedback and then implement it in your craft. So I need to look back what episode that was, but yeah, that's pretty good.
I think it's the first episode.
No, the first episode was, I believe, let me check. Who was the first episode? Wow.
I think the first episode was just the two of you.
Yeah, the first episode was just the two of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we got Traditional on and Jamie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one was
and
first.
After that we got Otniel.
Yeah. Something like that.
Otniel. Or by Otniel, yeah. Shout out to all those guys we just mentioned. And yeah.
Episodes are on the website. Shameless plug, just mid episode before we finish off with Jake here. The earlier episodes on it are in Dutch. Those can be found on my personal website, but all the English episodes are already migrated to our new domain, convos.com. So check those out if you've missed it. We got the two most recent one with photos by Francis. And Joel Arland, the filmmaker who studies in India. So they have their I think all of them have their unique backstory and style on how they started. And what I find interesting is how fast, well, relatively speaking, because Jake started, I think, 2017, right? When you just got into it and 3 years further, how fast you got to the point where you are now. If I compare, and this is my personal opinion, compare your style and type of photos you put out with other people that I see online who are like doing this as their work, doing this for years and years and years. And for me, your style is, you know, that's just my personal preference, is way up there.
Yeah. You're already way up there.
I'm blushing.
I guess my next question is, I guess, to round off this episode. We went through the process, how you got here, but we've just talked about you as a creator. But have you been able to build a business around it, or like get an income through it, or are you still in the phase of, you know, just putting out what you feel like, and how do you deal with that balance?
Both, because I'm currently still in school, I'm doing ICT, so I'm kind of trying to make a business with this photography and filmmaking stuff, but I'm just keeping it like very, very small, just like a few photo shoots, and I try to find filming jobs, but also try not to, because I don't have the proper gear to actually do commercial shoots, because like gimbals and stuff like that is quite expensive. So I'm kind of sticking to photography, photo shoots. And I think only photo shoots is the business I get out of photography.
Okay, you got a 30-second plug now to promote your photography.
30 seconds plus. What? How do you plug yourself? Go follow me. It's Taco at Play. Just go follow me.
Yes.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but I thought it'd be interesting to see how you respond then. Yeah, guys, if you want your banger portraits, we really like Taco style. Check out his Instagram, Taco at Play, and hit him up with a DM and see what you guys can arrange.
Yeah.
But let's move on. Before I go to, I guess, my final two questions, Steph, you got anything to add?
Yes, he basically kind of also answered it. He's already in school, sorry. He's in school, he's doing ICT. But do you think that you will ever make it your job to be full-time in photography and cinematography?
I hope. I'm trying to. But basically, if in the future I see myself like a part doing photography and filmmaking, but in the end or going back to coffee, try to open my own coffee shop, kind of like, I really like Starbucks, but kind of like Starbucks. I call this project Lake House.
Nice. He already has a name. Yeah, nice. So okay, So that's about it what I wanted to ask. And yeah, would there be ever a film shot by you?
Oh, talking about film, I have planned, I want to create a film about me. Well, it's based on me. It's going to be called Losing Daylight. And it's basically my life. It's basically the tattoo, but in a movie.
Wait, and is that... Sorry, continue.
It's going to have a bit of a twist, a fantasy twist. It's going to have time traveling stuff. So there's that. Kind of need CGI, a lot of it.
Nice. I also watched your IGTV, and there was one with a similar title on it, Losing Daylight.
Which one was that one?
The one where you grab the picture out of the laptop and then you put it on top, and you're standing, and you see the stellar.
There's a lot of meanings in that, which I'm also archiving, hiding.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. But that, as I said, your transition and your CGI way of using it is already getting there. So, thumbs up to that, man. Keep doing it. You never know. You never know. You might put up your short movie up for Oscars. We are now eligible to submit video. So, I'm just giving you a little small hint there.
I'm not gonna talk about it because I'm gonna jinx it.
No. Don't. I'm just putting a hint. So, yeah. Then you know.
Awesome. While you are doing that, check him on Instagram at taco@play. I think I typed that correctly. And book your shoot. So to close off, mentioned
one more
year. Yeah.
When is this video or podcast going to be posted?
This week.
This
soon.
Week, okay. Soon. So they're all gonna read go book your shoot. Don't book your shoot until May. Yeah, May.
Wow, this guy is
Cause I'm going to I'm going to disappear for 3 months, 2 months. You won't
three
see
months.
Me online anywhere. Yeah.
February, March, April. Wow.
February,
90 days.
March, April. Yeah.
Three months.
What's this disappearing act gonna be? Is it still a secret or?
It's no secret. It's actually, part is a secret, but we're not gonna talk about it. Parts basically, I'm gonna continue my self-discipline. I also worked on not wasting money on food, which I have a problem with. And what's my next phase? No phones, no internet, so that's why I'm gonna disappear. Because I can't do that at home. I'm probably gonna get the urge to still use my phone and whatnot. So I'm gonna disappear. Probably on an island still near.
Huh. Interesting. Ah. We were looking forward. I think we should follow up in June or mid 2021 to see.
Yeah.
That is make it.
But
even if you don't, we're still interested in how it works out.
Yeah.
I'm interested too.
So I'm going to ask you this. You said no phone, but are you going to take your camera?
Nope.
Oh man!
I know that sucks.
You'd expect me to
vlog it, right?
Not vlog it, but at least you know take some highlights, down part, and you know those kind of things. But that's gonna be hard. But okay,
it's going to be hard. Not gonna last 3 months. Probably gonna call quits on the first month.
Okay. Don't give up.
You called it out here. This is going live to the public. So.
this is compliance.
Yeah, I kind of already told the public in the story that I'm gonna disappear for 3 months.
Yeah. Okay. That's 19 days.
That's a lot. One day is a lot. Imagine 90.
Yeah. True.
No, but all the best with it, man. We are looking forward to hear from you and what you discover during that.
I'm going to be a whole different person.
Yeah, only time will tell. Okay. We'll see. But yeah, for my, you didn't have any questions left there?
No.
Okay, I guess to close off, you spoke about gear, filming, you need more gear, and now you're going on a sabbatical with no gear at all. So I guess to close it off, what's your gear wish list now? If you want to go into the filming, what would you minimally want? Name three things. And on the flip side, if you had to take one camera, one lens to you to go travel, what's your go-to?
Oh boy, it's just okay. So we're talking wish list. There is no okay. Top three. Okay, first of all, I'm going with an 85 1.4 lens. A 70 to 35, I think, 2.8 lens.
Okay, wide and angle,
And a gimbal. That's just the three things I need.
Yeah.
And I'm probably set for life, I think. I hope.
I would take the same thing, especially a gimbal.
Actually, you know what? Take away the 85 lens and make it a red camera.
A red camera.
The reason why I like the red camera is because it has the dramatic, the contrast and feel to it compared to the aerial access.
Okay. I actually do not know what that means.
No
need to explain it. We'll look it up later. We don't need to
same
close this with so much technicalities. You know what you want, you know what you need. And so for the second part, going traveling, what would be your go-to one camera or one body, one lens? Minimal.
One body, one lens.
Okay. Like a minimal package.
One body. So if I had the A7 R4, I'd go with the A7 R4. Lens. I think I'd go with the 51.8. Make it a 51.4.
Okay, fixed.
Actually, no. Sigma had a lens. It's, I believe, 18-35 1.8. That one, but they don't have it for the Sony. Probably use an adapter.
Yeah.
I think that's the best lens in existence. The 18-35 1.8.
Why'd you go for a fixed range instead of a variable range?
Because
for traveling,
prime lenses are basically sharper, and because they have lower f-stop, so you can let in more light. Basically, I'm a light geek. I want more light. So yeah, and depth of field. I'm a depth of field geek.
Yeah. So, okay. I think that really speaks to your photos too, like the bokeh and the light, and I can see why you went in that direction. Awesome, man. And I guess time to close off. We already told people where they can book their shoots, but in May.
In May.
Anywhere else people can follow, find you online. We already know what they can expect for you, for you have a disappearing act, but anything else you'd like to add that they may want to look forward to? Just go all out.
Stay tuned for my Lake House project, which is the coffee shop project. And I think that's about it for now. I don't think I can give away too much before I jinx it.
Awesome.
Because of my whole jinx thing, my whole family sees me as a mysterious guy, a lot of secrets.
Okay.
Okay. We'll save that for another conversation.
Yeah, after the 19 days.
A layer of that onion away. No worry.
Yeah.
You know, I was gonna disappear a long time ago, but because for the podcast, I stayed.
Oh, really?
Okay.
We really
wow.
appreciate it, man.
Dedication.
Matter of fact,
you,
I was gonna disappear today. End of January.
Well, so you moved it like a month?
A few days. I'm gonna start February before Valentine's because I don't want to see the whole Valentine's yet.
Okay. We gotcha.
All right.
And we'll post it before 14 also. So yeah.
Yeah. Check them out at again Taco at Play and book your shoot for May. Support your local talent and. Yes. I think we'd like to thank you as well for joining us today. It was a really chill conversation as well.
Yeah.
And you're pretty chill in front of the camera.
I am. Actually, I'm chill in my room.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good thing.
So this episode will probably released Tuesday. So if you're listening to this, it's already been released, obviously. But what we're planning to do, we'll have a monthly, we're aiming to do at least one episode of Creative Convos a month. And the other shows are already on the website. The Capital Convos has been announced already. We had the first episode of Casual Convos, where we announced Capital Convos with Greg, where we talk about more the economics and finance. So if you're interested in Money Talks, that's the series to check out. And that's also on a schedule for one episode a month. Episodes will usually be released right after the live episode of Social Convo series. Those are every Tuesday at 9 p.m. So if we have done a recording of Creative or Capital Convos, you can expect it to be released right after Social Convos, and that's hosted with Chanduk. Everything's on the website. We'd appreciate if you guys check out the website, give us feedback. We also got a Discord server. Feel free to join. Lots of behind-the-scenes stuff happening there. And we hope to see you in the next episode. Any final words, Devin? Before I roll out the outro,
you said already everything, and I thank everybody for tuning in on Creative, Capital, and Social and Casual Convos. I thank you very much.